Hey guys, welcome. We're your hosts, Amy Keeble and Haley Young. Our heart is to encourage you, add joy to your life, and be a small reminder that you're not in this crazy motherhood journey alone. We have each other, and most importantly, we have God every moment, every day. This is our village.
Hey, Haley, how are you?
I'm good, Amy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
We really jumped straight in, but that was good.
I just took you by surprise, jumped straight in, got down to business. And we also had just both said, do you have anything from your week that you want to share? And both of us were like, not really. So hence the silence after that.
The silence,
glad you're good. And I'm glad to be here.
Me too. It was really cool to hear from some people over this last fortnight about the matrescence episode. And I'll share some reviews that just people sent me, which was so appreciated. And Jodie loved hearing that too. She's like, that's why I want to get into this kind of work, because it really does make an impact on not only like the woman's life, but her family and like her circle.
Yeah. And if you haven't heard that episode, we definitely recommend hopping over and listening to it, as this is part of a little mini series we've got going on. That was the first one. And this week is our second episode. And we're talking to two beautiful new mamas who were there in their later stages of pregnancy, Ginny Hunt and Sarah DeHaan. Ginny is actually my cousin's wife, and Sarah DeHaan is a good friend of ours that we've known for years. So it was really lovely to chat to them in their last weeks of getting ready and hear what they've done to prepare themselves for motherhood. And now we've also had the privilege of watching them have their babies and kind of see them on the other side. So,
which is pretty special.
Yeah, that's been fun. Yeah, it's been really good to see the kind of bookend of that.
And we're hoping maybe, Sarah, if you hear this, maybe she'll come on out in between next week.
Surprise!
Because Amy and I were just reflecting on, like, the birth that, like, they were talking about, that they were hoping for, and how motherhood would be. And I think it's pretty cool how some of it has been similar. And then, of course, there's things that you just can't predict. So it'll be cool to have that chat with her.
Yeah, what a unique perspective to be able to hear from somebody so quickly after each other to see what their experience is like on the other side.
So if you have a few kids, this episode will be like, oh, that's right, that's what I thought about before kids. Or if you don't have children yet, maybe you're pregnant, or maybe you want children in the future, I think this chat is good insights into things to think about, how pregnancy is that first time round. And it's just a fun episode with two beautiful women.
Absolutely. We hope you enjoy.
I just hope I'm not Darth Vadering on the mic, because my lungs are at whatever capacity they're at.
You'll be fine. I think we should include that.
Well, today we get to chat to two beautiful, very pregnant mamas to be, and we're just so excited to have them on the podcast. We have Ginny Hunt and Sarah DeHaan, and Ginny is actually married to my cousin, so she is family to me, and Sarah has been a good friend to Haley and I for years and years, and we did youth group and church and all that sort of stuff together back in the day. So thank you so much for joining us tonight, guys.
Welcome.
Thanks. Yeah, my pleasure.
We're very excited to hear about your experience of pregnancy and how that's been for you and all of the above. So could you guys start by just introducing us to yourselves, what you do, who you're married to, how long you've been married, etc., all of the details. And maybe Ginny, if you'd like to start.
Sure. So I'm 24. I am married to my high school sweetheart, so Joel, who's Amy's cousin. We've been dating for almost 10 years now, and we got married last year, literally like just before COVID hit, so in February. And we had no idea like anything was about to come. So, yeah, that was amazing timing. And, yeah, we pretty much just got like a super extended honeymoon since then, which has been nice. And in regards to what I do for work, I have my own business, Living Design Collective, and I pretty much make terrariums and sell indoor plants.
And they're gorgeous.
That's me.
What a fun thing to do.
Yeah, it's very so fun. Very, very fun. It's nice to have like a creative outlet finally after all the years of working in retail and office jobs. So, yeah, it's been awesome.
Oh, that's cool. And I heard from Amy that your wedding was spectacular. And you as a bride was spectacular.
Oh.
I definitely sent photos to all my friends. Like, look at Jenny. Oh, my God. Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was a crazy day, like amazing, and just so many blessings, like amazing stories and experiences that came out of it.
So good.
Yeah, definitely the best day of our lives. I know that's such a cliche thing to say, but it was really, really cool.
I love that.
Yeah.
And Sarah, would you like to introduce us to you?
Sure. So I am Sarah, and I have known Hayley actually for a long, long time. I think we went to school, we both went to the same school from prep. And yeah, known Amy as well for a long time now, probably both over 10 years. So I'm 29 and I'm currently 39 weeks pregnant with my first baby with my husband, Curtis. We have been married now for 6.5 years. And actually a fun fact is our daughter's due date is the same day we met 11 years ago.
Wow.
So I didn't realize it straight away either. And then I was like, hang on, we met on the 3rd of August. So we weren't dating from then, but we were dating not long after. So, yeah, we've almost been together 11 years. But, yeah, 6.5 of those married, which is so bizarre. It's gone fast but also seems like such a long time. I don't feel that old.
That's because you're not that old.
And as far as what I do, so the last 3 and a bit years I have been working at a local cafe called Stone's Throw, which has been quite the adventure and been such a positive part of my life. Hospitality is what I've done forever, even though I have gone and studied a degree and done social work, but I really love the hospitality industry. So Stone's Throw has been a little community hub for me and a place that I've called home for the last 3 and a bit years. But exciting new things ahead with baby on the way.
I will definitely miss seeing you multiple times a week, Sarah.
We still can for different reasons.
We can, yes.
Just not at the cafe.
Yeah,
we can.
Well, we still can at the cafe.
Maybe as guests, exactly.
Yes. Different circumstances, yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. As we've said, this is our series of different stages of motherhood. And so we're talking today about what it's like to be an expectant mum for the first time. So could Sarah, you start by describing what has pregnancy been like over the last 9 months for you?
I almost feel bad answering this question for some people because it's obviously such a broad range of experiences women have.
Of course.
But simply put, I've had a really easy pregnancy. And I don't say that to rub it in for people that have really hard ones, but I probably couldn't have had a more like textbook, or not even textbook, just a really simple, easy pregnancy. From falling pregnant to I didn't have any morning sickness, I didn't have any food aversions. I mean, the only thing I didn't like for a few weeks was raw red onion, which is really not very hard to give up.
That's so specific.
And it took me a while to even figure that out. I just thought I didn't like it in one meal once, and then it happened 3 times and I was like, oh, this must be my thing, which is really not a hard thing to give up at all. You just don't eat the crap salad on the side of your parma. It's pretty easy. But yeah, so I have worked full-time the whole way through up until 38 weeks.
On her feet in a cafe.
And that was fine, to be honest. So, like, I probably didn't have any more sick days than I would have not pregnant. Like, I still had a few, but it was just life stuff, you know. So really can't complain. I felt incredibly blessed. Have felt very fortunate by how healthy our girl's been as well. I haven't had any, like, real anxiety or stresses around her development because everything's been very textbook with that. She's measured the right size the whole way through, all that kind of stuff, which has just been so comforting. So yeah, as far as pregnancy, I love it. I've enjoyed being pregnant a lot. I love the way that it creates community around you. I've really enjoyed that aspect of it as well, which I think is actually part of it, you know. It either will show you that you have a lot of support around you, or maybe make you feel more isolated, unfortunately. But I have felt so loved and cared for, and because I've been healthy, been able to really just enjoy the season.
That's awesome. So good. And Ginny, what's it been like for you?
Yeah, so I think similar to Sarah, I've felt very, very blessed throughout the pregnancy. It definitely hasn't been like all smooth sailing. I had quite bad nausea at the beginning, so up until probably about, it lasted until 16, 17 weeks. And for some weeks it was like really bad. But I think perspective and gratitude like has helped a lot throughout the pregnancy. Like even just having the mindset of, okay, this is just for a season. I know this is going to pass. That has helped a lot. So at the moment I'm getting a lot of aches and that sort of stuff, sort of the routine, I guess, things at this point. And yeah, just knowing that it will be over soon and that it is all a part of the process has helped. So I think I feel really blessed that mentally I'm doing well, because I know that, yeah, it can be very, very difficult for a lot of women, and sometimes hormones can just play like a huge role in that and can just come out of nowhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And a pregnancy massage at this stage is a great idea.
It is great. So good. Yeah, so like a professional one.
Yes. Yes.
I actually found it a little bit annoying and recommend finding a good physio and getting them to give you a massage as well as a treatment, like as in like, can you do a massagey version of a treatment because it's more effective? And I was just like, they're too scared to do anything, the massage people, like the beautician-y style ones.
No, yeah, you have to go to
an actual
specific person. Yeah, no, I get you. But an osteo as well. I found an osteo really helpful.
That's right. Osteo is actually what I went to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I opted to pay the same price to go see an osteo that I would for a massage, and just went and had that experience.
Super helpful.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's a win-win.
Definitely. And it's beneficial in preparing your body for labour as well.
Yeah.
And they actually can treat you if, because I had a bit of SIJ issue.
What's SIJ?
Which is just it's the relaxing of, it can be either hip. So for me, it was my right, but because of all the relaxin hormone in you, basically it almost just feels like your joints aren't sitting in their grooves properly. Yeah. So it can just be a bit sore, essentially. It's very common, but you don't have to live with the soreness. Mm-hmm. So the osteo or physio can actually like help that and realign everything.
Yeah. When I was in my first pregnancy, Blair was actually seeing a myotherapist for his arm. And the myotherapist at their actual clinic, they had a prenatal massage therapist. And Blair's myotherapist was like, when my wife was pregnant, I made sure she went every 4 weeks to get a massage, because it's so good for their body. And because he said that to Blair, I was like, I'll have to do the same thing. And he was all for it. So I went and saw her like every single month for that pregnancy. So she was great. But the osteo I went and saw for Ellie, because I had a similar thing, Sarah, with just like my hips and everything, and actually like pulled my back really bad at the beginning. And the treatment that she gave was like maybe not as nice in terms of relaxing and feeling as gentle and that kind of thing, but it was so much more in depth and so much more helpful with that like joint, especially around my pelvis area. That kind of treatment was just so good. So it's worth it.
Sounds good.
Well, I know it's hard to answer this question with the big picture because you haven't had your babies yet. So you haven't been able to, I guess, live it out in practice, but have you had anyone share some great tips or wisdom with you so far along your journey? And we might dare ask as well, if you've had anyone share any advice that you're like, that's probably not something I'm going to take on board.
It's interesting because in some ways I feel like we are in such a culture at the moment where people have almost learned like not to overly pressure you with opinions. Like we've got to the point where everyone's told, you know, like, don't do this, don't do that, don't say that to a new mom, like, to the point where like people would often say, you know, like strangers touching your belly. I haven't had that at all. I think people have gone so the other way now that everyone's so conscious of what's okay and what's not. That
especially in a COVID social distancing world.
Yeah, true, of course. True. Yeah. Actually, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to giving wisdom, I've probably sought it out of people, but I don't feel like I've actually had too much thrown at me. But in amongst that, definitely had some good stuff. So definitely had a lot of good encouragement around the idea that, you know, this baby is unique.
I'm unique, and we'll have to figure out what that looks like as far as parenting or our relationship or even my husband and the baby, all that kind of stuff. To not have high expectations or comparing maybe like how we work compared to what maybe Hayley and Parker were like or Amy and Charlie or something like that. Because realizing that, you know, we're unique in our makeup and also what we will need. So down to, you know, sleep scheduling versus feeding and all this kind of stuff. Just I have felt actually quite a bit of encouragement to not pressure myself to try and do one particular thing, but to really just relax into that season and figure out what works. And I think that's been good for me because I've appreciated the idea to just go, you know what, I'm just going to take every day as it comes. I'm not going to go in with an expectation that breastfeeding will look like this or by this point in time the baby will sleep this much, and really just being like, you know what, day at a time it is. And I've just been really trying to glean experience from all the different women around me and realise, okay, it is so diverse. Everyone's experiences are so different. And I will fall somewhere in amongst all of them, and that's okay. So the wisdom, I guess, has just been don't pressure yourself, don't compare, and just embrace the season knowing that it's short anyway, and you're going to look back and be like, oh, my goodness, where did my newborn go? Where did my one-year-old go? So I really looked forward to it as a season of one just to kind of slow down in and embrace and not wish it away even in the hard parts, but just go, I can do this, we'll figure it out, and we're all going to be okay.
Yeah.
I think that's good wisdom that's people have shared.
How about you, Jenny?
Yeah, so during my pregnancy, I've actually been pregnant with three of my sisters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Beck, my sister-in-law, she recently had her baby, a beautiful girl, and my sister, she is due in a couple of days. Then I'm due in a few weeks, and then right after me, a couple of weeks later, my other sister-in-law, Jade, is due.
How special.
It's super special, yeah. So lots of hormones and pregnant women around.
It really is the COVID baby boom.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I have my sister-in-law, my brother's wife, had their baby 11 weeks ago, and my husband's sister is due 12 weeks after us, so we're also in between.
That's awesome.
All these families, it's like contagious.
Yeah.
I saw a funny thing actually on Facebook today that said, if you've made it through COVID without getting pregnant and buying a new puppy or buying an air fryer, put your hand up.
I definitely bought an air fryer.
No one would win. Yeah, so Bronwyn, my mother-in-law, we were all sort of sitting together one night after dinner with all our pregnant bellies, and she's a very, very wise woman. And, yeah, she just made a comment and was just like, girls, like, just be really careful not to compare with each other. And that's exactly what Sarah was just saying now, which I think is a huge thing that can start from even pre-pregnancy, even from people who are trying up until parenthood, and then it never ends kind of a thing. So through all of those stages, I feel like there's just so much pressure, and it just, it's like an instant switch. It's just like it clicks all of a sudden, and everyone wants to put opinions on you and expectations and all sorts of different stuff. But yeah, I think the point is to not compare, because like Sarah said as well, we're all individual. We all have different walks of life. Even babies, they're not like a little box that they fit into. I mean, you look at humans, if you walk in a crowd, we're all so different. We look different. We have different personalities, characteristics. And that's the same for babies as well. They're all different. So I think just knowing that from the beginning, not to have those expectations and to compare yourself in those ways is really important. And then that goes to the same with milestones and, oh, who's going to crawl first? Who breeds first? Who does this and this and this? It's just really silly stuff and can be hurtful. So I think that's a really good and healthy thing to just keep in mind, is not to compare with each other. Yeah.
Unfortunately, often our weakness as women too, though, you know, one of our hardest things is comparing one another.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely something to be conscious about and to sort of catch yourself in, I guess, if it pops up. And then in terms of, what was the second question? Bad advice. That's right. I don't think I've had many people, like Sarah said, in person say stuff to me that's been too horrible. Maybe I've forgotten. But where at the beginning of my pregnancy, I got like so excited. I was just like, oh, okay, I'm going to join all these pregnancy Facebook groups now. And I'll just say, yeah, you might be able to find some good advice in there, but just take it with a grain of salt, because there's definitely some awful advice that you'll find in those Facebook groups as well.
Awful tones as well. I think that like my experience of those groups is like maybe the advice is okay, but the attitude and the like response or the way people have reacted to each other is just like, oof. Probably again with the comparing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it can be definitely different from group to group. So yeah, not saying they're all bad, but I've found some funny moments in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually think those online groups, they can go both ways. I even contacted Hayley the other day about something, which I won't go into too much, but I realised like almost censoring like what we expose ourselves to for our own emotional or mental sake, because I was kind of overwhelmed by being on a few apps like Peanut and some of the Facebook groups that are out there at the amount of women whose situations I was just like feeling gut-wrenched for, which... Mm-hmm. And it sounds so heartless or so, I almost feel ashamed to be like, oh, like reading it was really affecting me, because I was reading someone's experience. This is her lived-in experience. Mm. And basically people being like, actually, you probably should contact someone. It sounds like you're in an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
But I was just so taken back by how frequently I was reading this kind of stuff. But the reason why I say it's important to censor it is because I actually can't do anything. Like, these people are posting anonymously. So it's not a matter of, like, they've come to me and I'm like, I can't help you. It's like, I literally can't help you. And I just was feeling so emotionally affected in a situation. I can stop and pray for them, which is probably, like, the only thing I do once I get myself out of, like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? But, those groups, I find them really heavy sometimes, the content. And sometimes I think it's important that we don't live under a rock and we realise either how good we have it or that we need to be actually checking in with our friends and making sure that they're okay. But at the same time, sometimes I think it's like, this is probably not helpful for me to be opening Facebook and every time I do reading this stuff when I can't do anything about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's, as you both said, such a fine balance as you go. And it's, I think, as you said, Ginny, it's going to be like that for the rest of our lives in terms of parenthood and marriage and all of life, definitely. Hopefully this is a fun question, but in what ways have you prepared for birth and having a baby?
Interesting one, because I'm a very...
Or have you prepared?
Yes. I'm a very go with the flow person. That's a nice way of putting I'm very unorganized and I procrastinate and I'm late to everything. And I'm kind of just like, it is what it is. It is what it is. So it's been nice having a lot of family around me that has had kids and are pregnant with me. So having them to sort of bounce off of and ask questions has been very nice. I think asking someone that you know is just a lot more comforting than, you know, searching the internet and getting five different answers of the exact same question. But in terms of preparation, something similar actually, again, to what Sarah said, is at the beginning of my pregnancy, I was watching a lot of YouTube videos on birth stories and preparation and all that sort of stuff. And I've definitely gotten to a point sort of about halfway through my pregnancy where I realized, oh, I probably actually shouldn't be watching some of this stuff, because some of it is like quite traumatic and horrific stuff to hear.
I did the same thing. I just stopped.
Which isn't, like at the time I just thought, I was so fascinated by it, super interested by it. I was like, this won't affect me because, you know, I go with the flow, it's fine. but yeah, I definitely got to a point where I was like, oh, look, even if I feel like this doesn't affect me, it still probably would and could. And it probably just wasn't the best stuff to watch in preparation for labor. So about 8 to 10 weeks ago, I started looking into positive birthing, and at first when I heard things like hypnobirthing, I was like, that sounds a little bit weird, and didn't know sort of where I sat with it. But I had a friend who gave me, or had a family actually, who gave me the login details to just have a look through the course and see what it's all about. Yeah, since then I've been looking into the videos and listening to different tracks and stuff. Mm. So we'll see how that goes. It might work, it might not. I'm okay with that, you know, however it goes. But it's just been nice to just have that to do something proactive towards the labour. Yeah.
And I think what you said before about preferences is, like, we can't have a set in stone plan, as everyone said to you, but to know what your preferences are and to at least prepare for them, that's all we can do and is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really nice to have, I found I'd get a little bit restless at the end of my pregnancies and I was like, I just want to have something that I'm learning or that I'm looking into or I'm like putting in place, even if it didn't end up happening, but those kinds of things are good for equipping you across the board, even if it's not how it plays out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm.
And Sarah, how about for you?
So I feel like I have been probably more preparing in this season than I normally am. I'm normally not a very organized person. I can be, but I don't know. I don't necessarily consider myself to be, but I have been around this. I think I've been really excited for the baby. And so down to, like, her room, I've had so much fun, like, preparing her in that way and, like, all the kind of figuring out what stuff you need and what stuff you don't need and all that kind of thing. But down the same kind of line as what Ginny was talking about, I think I've actually done quite a bit of preparation for my mental preparation, emotional and physical, around labour and also the fourth trimester, as they love to call it. So actually one amazing woman who I've gleaned a lot of advice and wisdom from is a customer called Renee, who I've really loved. And really early on, I reckon like before my 20 weeks, she gave me a hypnobirthing book and I read it and I just loved it. It actually went through like the history of birth and everything and explained like where we basically got this concept of birth being painful or birth being traumatic, and that it's like a fairly modern thing, but that it goes through this doctor who basically discovered that like more primitive societies or like less Western cultures don't experience birth with the same kind of idea of pain or trauma that we give it. And so therefore this idea that it's almost like a learnt response, not to discredit women that find it hard or painful, obviously, but it basically talks about this link between pain and fear and how our culture has kind of instilled this idea of fear around birthing. And so often that causes, you know, like more tension. Our muscles don't do the jobs properly when we're kind of going into something with anticipation of pain or anticipation of fear or what could go wrong, which sometimes I think over information does as well. And I think we're in a time of so much information. So like Ginny said, like I started listening to birth stories early on people's advice, and then I was like, this is not helping me. So I stopped. And then later on in about late second or third trimester, I started again and I realized I was in a much healthier space. But I think if you do that stuff too early, it's not beneficial necessarily, because you're just like, I don't need all this information yet.
So
I jumped on the hypnobirthing bandwagon, and like it sounds like, ooh, I think everyone goes hypnosis, but it's actually so okay in my opinion, especially like if you're wondering as a Christian, you know, does it have any like weird stuff? It doesn't. It's actually just about being able to have that control over our own minds in a really healthy way. So rather than allowing fear in and to start releasing all those negative hormones that cause our contractions to actually just be the muscles tightening in a way we don't need in birth and all that kind of stuff. It's about enhancing oxytocin, allowing your partner to support you in ways that release good endorphins, and so actually making your contractions more effective. And obviously I say all this to somebody who hasn't birthed yet, but I am really excited about birth and I've had quite a positive outlook on it for most of the time now. I really recommend, I did the Australian hypnobirthing course through a lady I found on Instagram, and there's heaps out there. You can even just find them through the Australian hypnobirthing page. But I haven't been using their tracks as much since I came across the Christian hypnobirthing app.
which I bought, and it's only $9.95, I think. They have like all the tracks available for that, which I listen to most nights before bed, and I loved it because it's a Christian. It's not just about, you know, positive mindfulness and focusing on bubble of comfort, which might work for you, but it actually incorporates scripture. Mm. It actually incorporates prayers of allowing God into your circumstances as well, which I found really helpful and has really helped me kind of understand and entrust that actually, you know what, I believe that my body is designed to do this. I'm capable of birthing this baby. I think actually something that I had to really dig into and I wanted to understand more for myself rather than just accept was this idea that I think as Christians sometimes we go, oh yeah, but birth and labor pains, biblically it's going to hurt, you know, it kind of speaks of that in the Bible. And so we almost like accept it. But I went through this journey, if you want to say, of actually going, well, hang on, I'm not under the curse of sin, which is where that came from. I'm actually under an Abrahamic covenant where I no longer have to carry that burden. Mm. And yes, pain exists in this world, but I don't have to accept that the pain that comes from that has to be part of my story. And in fact, God has created my body in wholeness and perfectly to do what it's designed to do. Therefore, I'm going to try and bring faith into this that believes that I can actually birth my baby without pain. So that's the avenue I'm going down. I don't think it's going to be easy because there's a lot of things in life that are hard work that are still hard work or, you know, are tiring, but it doesn't necessarily have to be pain. And I read a book called, I think it's like Supernatural Birth. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, when I was given it by another friend, I had a little internal eye roll and I was like, oh, here we go. It's also from like the 80s and I was expecting great things, you know. But I actually started reading it and I was like, this book is amazing. I loved it so much. And it was this woman's journey of discovering that she had like multiple pain-free births. And the best way I can describe it to you and the ones that I've gone into it with is if someone says to you to tense your arm until it's like shaking with tension, you wouldn't necessarily say that's painful, but you're contracting that muscle. So mm-hmm. you're experiencing pressure and you're applying like a lot of strain to it, but you wouldn't go, oh, doing that's experiencing a whole lot of pain. And so that's the difference, I guess, I'm going into the mindset of like, I'm not saying it will be easy, but I don't think it has to come with the pain that we expect it to.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows, you know, as you said, you can't plan your birth, but you can have preferences and I'm doing everything I can to try and have the birth that I believe is possible.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Now, Sarah, I know that I've said this to you, but if your answer is still no, that's absolutely fine. Have either of you prepared for breastfeeding in any way or been told, think about breastfeeding as well, not just the birth?
Mm. Yes, you have. I have. I haven't gone to the extent of doing a course like I did for hypnobirthing, despite your encouragement, not for any reason other than
to be a rebel.
As I said, if the answer was no, that was okay.
Other than I don't know why, but I have done a lot of like reading and like learning. I'm also antenatal expressing, which I think obviously it's not breastfeeding, but at least kind of helps you understand the way that your boobs work and how they produce things and all that kind of stuff. So it's like a bit of an introduction to it, I guess. And with that, like, means that I've like done a bit of reading around it and I have an Instagram saved, you know, how you can save things into little files. I have one just on breastfeeding from all my stuff that I'm like, actually, that seems like information worth saving for a night when I am like, what's going on? This is really hard, down to like different positioning for babies and advice on it's okay if it doesn't work all the time. Like, you know, sometimes it's just like good little quotes to go, oh yeah, I'm not failing. And sometimes it's actually like really practical guides or little videos on how to help your baby latch or so I've got that kind of stuff, but I haven't done a course.
And I should actually preface this with, if you are wanting to breastfeed, have you looked into it?
Because you did know that I wanted to. Yes.
But I know that's not everyone's choice. Ginny, what about you? Have you had people tell you that?
Yeah, so I've looked a bit into some courses, possibly because my Facebook's just been bombarded with ads. Yes. But yeah, getting definitely towards like the tail end of pregnancy, I've realized I haven't probably done much preparation for post labor. I feel like it's kind of like a similar thing to a wedding day. It's like you do all this preparation for your wedding day, like you're choosing your dress, your makeup, nails, like there's all this sort of commotion around the day itself. And then you get married. And the whole point why you're getting married is for the marriage. So I feel like, yeah, there's so much preparation around the pregnancy itself and the actual labor day. Mm-hmm. So at least for me personally, to where I've gotten to the point, I'm like, oh, I actually don't know much probably about actually raising a baby. I mean, I've had lots of people around me raise babies, but I actually haven't done the breastfeeding myself and, you know, the night wake ups and all that sort of stuff. So I am definitely intrigued at doing a course. Mm-hmm. I'm just sort of sitting on the fence of, I guess, which one to purchase. And yeah, I guess it's same thing, like even in terms of information, you can get two perfectly credible health professionals say two different things. Like some people are saying, yep, do nipple to nose. That's the way to do it. And then other people say, no, don't do nipple to nose. That's not the way to do it. So yeah, I think having a course that I just stick to and give it a shot would be a good way to go, just because I have lots of different information that conflict at the moment from what I've read up. So yeah. Or maybe I'll ask you girls later your experiences. Yeah, but I've got all the balms and compressors and ice packs and that sort of stuff. So we'll see how it goes.
It's something that I've researched a lot because I breastfed Parker for a while and then had mastitis a few times with him as well. So just sought out other help. So I thought I should just name three resources that I found really good.
The
Australian Breastfeeding Association are great, and we actually did their few hour course when I was about 35 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
And that was really good. But then I've come across Amberly, I think her last name is Harris, but her business is Maternal Instincts by Amberly.
Yeah.
And she is fantastic and has a online course and also a membership to ask questions and to just get information as you go. And also Susie Proctor. Oh, I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing her name right. They're both on Instagram, and she actually has a podcast called the Australian Breastfeeding Podcast, and I got help from her when I was trying to wean Parker when I was heavily pregnant. So she helps people breastfeed, but also she did an episode on weaning your babies, and I emailed her and contacted her. I said, can you help me? And she did, because I was finding it really hard. So those three resources have been really good for me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
When I was preparing for Charlie, we were doing like the hospital run postnatal class, and the episode, what's it called? The session that I missed, for some reason we missed, I think I was sick or something, I can't remember, was the breastfeeding one. And I was just like, that was the one I was looking forward to. But other than that, did no preparation at all. So I think that sounds amazing, Hayley, and definitely worth checking out for sure, because it's a huge part. It's like, it obviously labor and birth, all of this stuff that happens in that moment is huge. And then it's a huge part of your journey.
It's over.
Yeah. Then you're straight into feeding and caring for your child. And it is it has been for me and for many that I know, one of the hardest things and so complicated. Mm. So definitely an area to look into for sure.
It can cause a lot of stress and,
guilt.
Yeah, there's just a lot of unknowns. Guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been witness to that so much. Like, I've had 10 people have babies this year around me.
Wow.
And I think all of them, their breastfeeding journey has been one of the things that have come up the most, is like, you know, I thought it was natural. I thought it was going to be easy, and it's been really hard. So, yeah, even though I said I haven't prepared for it, I don't know why, based on all this feedback.
It is got time, Sarah, maybe a few days.
Yeah. You got all the time in the world.
But I think it's one of those things that it's like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong in this, but part of me is like,
I don't think you can properly learn it till you have to do it either. As I said, I've been reading about it, but until I have a baby to actually try and latch and do it with, I don't know. I know that it will be hard nonetheless, and it will still be a learning curve, but at least I'm prepared for it to be.
Yeah, I think one of the things that was really helpful in learning a bit beforehand was just learning what should be expected and what shouldn't, that if a midwife tells me this, well, that isn't necessarily the way that things have to go.
Yeah.
Because one of Sarah and my friends was offered formula within 24 hours in hospital, and she actually said, no, I don't want to. I've got colostrum. But if she hadn't have had some kind of pre-thoughts about that, and that doesn't take a course, but she had just thought about it, she might have said okay, and it's okay if that's what you want, but it wasn't what she wanted at that stage, and just to know that that's not what she wanted. And even for me, hearing that breastfeeding doesn't have to be painful, and that that can be a sign that the latch is wrong, and that you just have to adjust a few things, I had always heard that the beginning of breastfeeding was painful for everybody. And to hear that, I was like, oh, it doesn't have to be. Well, turns out with Parker, it was very painful to begin with. With Will, no pain from day one. So it was two different journeys. But, I just thought that was that's how it started, that it was painful. And I was like, oh, that's actually a sign of something. If it is.
And we so often just accept things, though, when it's the norm, like with birth being painful.
Yeah.
And I say, I even talk about the fact that I'm hoping for a pain-free birth so sheepishly sometimes, because people look at you like, oh, you're an idiot. And it's like, well, no, you know what? I want to actually be able to expect something that isn't necessarily just the status quo, because why are we accepting all these things? I'll accept it once I experience it, kind of thing. But breastfeeding, I think, is the same. Why not go, you know what? I'm going to give it a go and expect that it will happen eventually, and it might not be easy, but we'll be able to get there.
Mm-hmm. Actually, one thing that I didn't know with Parker, my first, was that you can ask to see a lactation consultant in the hospital if you're feeling that your latch isn't right, because midwives all have different techniques as well. But with Will, someone said, make sure you request to see one. And I was able to, and that just gave me peace of mind, because I was just like, how does this work again? And I'd literally had 6 or 8 weeks off breastfeeding, maybe 6 weeks off breastfeeding, but so different breastfeeding a nearly 2-year-old to a newborn. But I didn't know that first time around, that that was something that you could request. So that was cool to learn.
Yeah, that's great. I'll be using that.
Definitely do. Yeah. It's even if you think everything's going well, it's so good to have someone come in and just have a look. And and the thing that you said, Hayley, that's so true. Knowing, because I think feeding was probably the area that I got the most varied information from my midwives and my doctors, not even just from people around me, but actual health professionals. That was shocking to me how many different ideas there were on things.
Yeah.
And so knowing a little bit as you go into it about what you can expect or what kind of the situation is can be really helpful, because you will get so many different people's advice. And if they offer the lactation consultant, or even if they don't, ask for it, because they tend to be, it's their speciality. So they're they're really on top of it all the time. So definitely worth checking out for sure.
I'm actually thinking back to our episode that we did with Yana about oral ties and how much that feeds into breastfeeding.
Oh, I listened to that one, the cheek ties.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's
and things
stuck
that
with
people
me.
Just don't know.
That's crazy. Well, as a final question, we thought it would be nice to ask you guys, what are your prayers and hopes for your little baby girls as you go into this next season?
I've been I'd like to think I've been fairly proactive in praying for our little one throughout her existence inside, down to I pray for her, obviously, physical health, and I've prayed for each of her organs and her ability to see and hear and her brain functioning, and all, I prayed against allergies for her and that her physical body would be like 100% while working and all that. But I also pray for her all the time that she would know the Holy Spirit and that she would just have an innate understanding of who God is and his love from her from the beginning. Mm. That it isn't, obviously people still have to go on their own faith journey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like being foolish and thinking that she's just going to come out of the womb, you know, preaching the word. But I am.
Salvation on her day of birth.
Yeah, but at the same time, I do think, why not set her up to actually have a real understanding of who her creator is in her inmost being?
Mm.
You know, that God has created her and formed her perfectly. And so I want her soul to know that. And so that's something I've been praying over her from the beginning, that she would know who she is and who she is in him. And then I think just like the stuff in this world prompts me to pray for her. So like when I see like the stuff teens are struggling with and stuff, you know, I pray for her mental and emotional health, that she won't be someone who struggles or suffers with anxiety and depression, but that she would have a real strong foundation of who she is in God, and that she would have a healthy self-respect and self-worth. And honestly, like, I just let the things in life around me prompt me to pray for her and her protection, because the world is scary. And when you start realizing that this tiny little person that you're responsible for is going to enter into it, and there's only so much you can do, you start to be like, you know what, I'm going to pray for that as well. Or like things like my husband Kurt had really bad colic as a baby, to the point where like his mum has shared with me for the first 2 years of his life, he didn't sleep more than 40 minutes at a time and was not put down flat on his back for more than that long at a time because he would cry so bad. Like these days they'd be like, they would have got her off dairy probably or something like that, you know. But back then they didn't. So she held him upright for most of the first 2 years of his life. So I pray about that. And I'm like, Lord, like, may our daughter not suffer from severe colic. May she not have allergies that are going to cause her constant irritation and upset. And may it not, you know, be a cause of utter frustration and sleep deprivation for Kurt and I. And you know what? I don't think that I'm also not somebody who thinks you can just like pray away any hardship in this life, but I don't think that there's rules about what you can pray for. And I'm not going to be less thankful for God if some things, you know, end up happening, you know. I'm not going to be like, oh, why God did this happen if she gets a cold, you know. You know, life is going to happen. But I figure rather than stressing about things or going, oh, my goodness, imagine if she had this problem. I've just been praying about it. So literally my prayers for her have been, I think, kind of encompassing all things and just really wanting to bless her and help her have the best start in life by just thinking I'm going to commit it all to God. And just actually that's another one, just being like, Lord, like, you've blessed us with her and we are so thankful for the gift of her life, but help us to never hold her more tightly than we allow you to, like, and trying to practice releasing her to his care even before we've held her, because I think that's something that's hard to do. And so to practice that from the very beginning is something I've been conscious of as well, and just thanking God for her, but going, ultimately, like, she's yours as well.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. How about you, Jenny?
Yeah. Just a note on that, Sarah. I think that's really beautiful that you pray, like, specifically over, like, all those little functionings and her organs and all that sort of stuff. I think that's really, really special. Yeah, I just love that. But, yeah, I think this might sound a little bit cliche, but I guess my prayer and hope is ultimately that she does come to know Christ in her own relationship with him. So not necessarily through what we do in our sort of routine, because we've, you know, Joel and myself obviously have been going to church for a long time and we have all of our routines around that with youth group or leadership or small groups. But that, yeah, she doesn't just see what we're doing and sort of trot along with it, but is really able to have her own real encounters with Christ and, yeah, just continue to build on her own relationship with him throughout life. Seeing how the world is at the moment, is a little bit scary. And I'm sure every parent in every generation feels that way, you know, in their own time. But I think what the world pushes on women today to be that specific way is very, very different to what the Bible says for women to be. So, as we've just been praying over her name and what to name her, we've just also been asking God, like, okay, what is it that you've called over her life, and what is it that you speak over her, and, you know, in relation to that, like, what should we name her? So, yeah, that's been some of our other prayers as well. But, we both just feel blessed and amazed that we're entrusted with this little baby girl, and I just pray that we would allow God to shape us, that we're obedient to him as well, and he'll just shape us into the parents that he wants us to be for this child.
Oh, that's beautiful, guys.
Amen to all of those prayers. Thank you so much to both of you for being willing to chat to us before your babies come, because it is a bit daunting. Sarah, as you said, you've sheepishly been sharing with some people about your desires for birth, and it can be a bit scary to put out some of your thoughts knowing that you haven't yet fully entered into this season whilst you have started. But we really appreciate it, and we're praying for you both, praying for your births, praying for your fourth trimester, and excited for you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, absolutely my pleasure. It's been wonderful chatting with you girls.
It has, thanks.
Thank you. And until next time, this is our village.
Thank you for joining us today on This Is Our Village. If you enjoyed this podcast, please remember to like, subscribe, and review. And please share it with as many moms as you think might benefit from this community. This is our village, but we'd love it to be your village too.